anyone who's a follower of Martin Luther King Jr. is going to find along his path to his understanding, this man, Howard Thurman, was seminal. For Dr. King, he always walked with him, one of Howard's texts with him wherever he went. Even that fateful day when he died, one of Thurman's texts was with Dr. King. I had a dream last night, and it wasn't one of those super powerful ones like a, you know, changing the course of America, but it was a dream that was important to me, and it was so important that I jumped up early to write this service that I want to give you. Because I think it's really important for our congregation as we make this next step. We're talking about leaping from being just a Sunday service provider and, you know, a few small east-west and beloved community, thank you, to being a 365-day church. I guess that's the new metaphor, right? We want to somehow become a community that does something to change the world every day almost, you know? Like, have that mindset. So I had this idea, this dream about religion and religiosity and your theology and how it plays a role in what you do, how you do it, why you do it. So let me share with you. If religion is only the belief in a supernatural being and related to worship, then our community and traditions may not really be a religion. Unitarian Universalists rarely preach about supernatural beings, and their worship at times is more like a lecture than a worshipful experience. If, however, there are other ways of understanding religion, and I believe there are, then our way may be the alternative to that other religious understanding. I believe strongly that our Unitarian Universalist home is a place where religion flourishes, and that our community is not only a church, but it is a lecture stand, and it is a helping hand stand, and it is a place for advocacy for the right thing in our society. This is what I'm after as I go down this page, and here's more. Often, religious liberals are devoted to an open and progressive faith, gathered within a community of those who are seeking their own salvation in their individual ways. What then is faith for us as a community? And I thought, at its best, faith is lived out when we show people how we care for them, how we love them, how we'll journey with them through their ups and downs, their high points, and their lowlights of life. Now, sometimes it can be said that, oh, you're too faithful, Reverend, or those people have a blind faith. You know, for some people, the unseen reassures them about their faith. And, well, the heavens, you know, I don't know, there's something beyond that, and I can rest in that. And for others, that faith leads them to a belief in a God that interacts in their daily patterns and is in charge of all things. I want to encourage us to be people open to faith in whatever ways it comes to you. For some, it's in playing that piano and making us swing and sway to beautiful music. For others, it's in the particular ways they draft and schedule and formulate the how to do's of our congregation. For others still, it's sitting in board meetings that bore you to tears and you want to choke the life out of some folks, but you keep coming back because you're faithful enough to want to see this thing through. You know, the scriptures sometimes get thrown away in these kinds of circles where we're not stuck on one particular way of understanding, but I wanted to bring this one to you because I think it has such great value. Paul in Hebrews 11:1-3 says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. I've got conviction that we can turn this place into a caring community that helps transform Orange, New Jersey. It's a faith that you're going to have if we're going to make this change from being a Sunday service with 12 apostles. How many are you here today? 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11. Uh-oh, Darcy's in it. 12. See, I'm not far off with this thing. If 12 apostles are here on a regular basis, the faithful ones who don't want this place to die, but you really haven't had the wherewithal to see it thrive. See, not wanting to die is one thing, but seeing something thrive is totally different. And if you're going to see this place thrive, then it's going to take a new kind of faith. Now, I know it's hard for many of us to have leaps of faith. Sometimes people think it's absurd to believe that a place that's been in decline for so long could somehow become this bright, shining star. You're reticent to accept this kind of simplistic faith that somebody like me may have. But I know through past examples that we can never underestimate what a few committed folks can do. It's always been that way in this world. It always starts with a few. I've heard some of you use even say, Gordon, enough of this mystery. There's the reality, and the reality is that our numbers are poor, our finances are dependent upon those who rent our space. And I paused right there. I didn't stop the speaker, but I heard my mind say, so what's wrong with being the interfaith center in Orange where Jews and Christians and Muslims or Buddhists or agnostics or atheists use this beautiful sanctuary for their weddings? A little painting and a... Howard, we got to get that glass back and we got to fix that window. A little painting and a little sprucing up in this place will make this a fabulous wedding chapel. Some places make $100,000 a year or more just on weddings. We haven't even begun to market ourselves in any way that would draw that kind of attention to this space. This is a beautiful space. I know quite often most Unitarian Universalists want a subtler, more enduring, more sustaining faith than talk about mystery or possibilities. You'd like to know that the folks over at Shelter Rock are going to give us a grant so we can make these changes, right? Well, we've got to be operating for at least a year before we can apply for those grants. You see, they want to have faith in us. They want to know that we were willing to go the full distance before we put our hands out asking for something. Huh? Now, just because you've been giving of yourselves for, 20-some years, and we got the 10 years. Howard, how many years you been coming here? 30-something? 40-something? 50-something? 60-something? Man, there's great balls of fire, goodness gracious. Snuffy Smith would be so proud. Do you know Snuffy Smith? You're too young to know Snuffy Smith. That's a shame. That's a character for the ages. It's not enough that we've been coming and giving and shoveling and painting and scraping and praying for this place. Prayers have to be matched up with a foundational reality. And the foundational reality is when one way of doing something doesn't work, we've got to climb on board the bus to a new station. The new station is waiting for us. We have to dare to go there. Howard Thurman was the reason for my service today, and I'm going to lift him up just briefly in that he has a story in his autobiography about being the summer minister at a church in Roanoke, Virginia. Now, I know Roanoke, Virginia. They have a big star in Roanoke. Every time somebody dies in Roanoke on that mountainside, that star gets put in red. But most of the time, the star's in white. Every time somebody passes in that little Shenandoah Valley City. They light that star. One of our lights is over Roanoke now, looking down upon us or something, right? And I was thrilled to hear him talk about Roanoke. And then he said the call rang in the middle of the night and woke him from his deep slumber. And it was the nurse at the all-Negro hospital, because this was long ago when we had segregated facilities. Come to think of it, we still have segregated facilities. If you go in these local hospitals around here, you don't see too many of the other folks, but that's another story now, isn't it? Nevertheless, Howard was called to the hospital because someone was dying. He was a young pastor. He hadn't yet delivered a eulogy or been by the bedside of a dead congregant, or certainly not a person in a hospital bed. But he told the nurse he would hurry, and she said, "You better, he doesn't have long." And he got to the bedside, and he had forgotten his Bible. And it made me remember how I was when I first did hospital ministry. I carried the Bible with me everywhere. I wasn't particularly Christian. It was the only thing I knew that had words in it to help comfort people. Nevertheless, Thurman is gazing upon the man, and the man looks up and says, "Is that you, Pastor?" He says, "Yes, sir." And he says, "You better start praying. I don't have long." And Thurman said he closed his eyes. And he never remembered the words he said, but he heard the elderly man say amen. And in a few moments, it was over. The man was dead. Thurman was amazed that out of the depths of himself came something that was of use to somebody else. He was strengthened in his faith that day by the knowledge that even when we feel we don't have what it takes to make it through the storm or make it to the next level of our theological journey or even in the creation of a helping hands ministry for Orange that will mend up some broken people, it can and it will be done. Your will already brought you this far. And it's this kind of faith that I think you gotta hold on to. One in which you feel like you already have what it takes to make this thing work. It's already inside of you. We just have to pull it out for a board and a volunteer effort and an effort that will take us to the next level. Some of you remember the man Viktor Frankl. What was that book he wrote? Meaning of Life. Viktor Frankl. If you didn't read that, I must have read that in seminary. I remember him having a remarkable faith. There was something in that text that said, no matter what you go through, you can overcome. I remember that. He did not believe in God. He did not believe that God caused the trouble that his community was under. God didn't make concentration camps. God didn't make this community the way it is. The low income level, or the fact that it's mostly people that have never heard about Unitarian Universalism. That's a happenstance of life, right? What Frankl did, and I think has meaning for us today, is he found in faith the meaning for existence. No matter what happened, he could still choose. No matter what happens in our lives, you get that apartment or you don't get it, you still get to keep that beautiful, look at that beautiful smile. You still get to keep that beautiful smile. if we lose a job that we needed and we don't know how we're going to make it, you still get to have a faith that says, somehow, some way, I'm going to survive this. If your health is failing you and old age is caught up with you, you could fold up your tent, or you could be like those elderly ones who are teachers to us all. They keep on keeping on. This is about choice. Frankel chose to be courteous to the least courteous people in the world, those horrible guards in that concentration camp. He chose to be helpful and even loving to guards. His choice. He chose to hasten his death. He could have chose to hasten his death by acting out or not eating, but he chose to live. The choice was his. The choices that we're going to have before us will be yours. Faith and the realization that meaning is possible when we imbue it with what's already inside of us. This space and the future of this congregation will be filled with what's already inside of you. The good things, the powerful things, the surviving things, the faithful things that you have. I must have been on a Bible thing, because here Paul Tillich came to my mind. And for some, he's arguably the best theologian of the 20th century. And he wrote about faith existing in our ability to address the ultimate reality. The ultimate reality is what's here will come to its death and something new will be reborn. That's ultimate reality. It doesn't have to be pie in the sky reality. But this is ultimate reality. Just like scripture tells us, there's a time and a place for everything under the sun. So there's a time for us to worship, maybe it's one Sunday a month. And then there's a time to mentor somebody, to teach somebody English, to help somebody with a fair housing question, to create a space where we build upon the good things of this congregation and the historic legacy it's left. Have faith. I say to you, because when you act in faith, there's no mountain you can't climb. I close this out because I heard these people, these giants in my mind, Viktor Frankl and Saul of Tarsus, because I don't like that conversion. I don't know what happened to him. That man was killing people, so I would still call him Saul. But Paul, right? Better known as Paul. Paul Tillich. Faith is courage to be. And then lastly, I woke up with James Luther Adams on my lips. Lisa must have thought this man is going to die today because he's uttering things in his sleep. Babbling. James Luther Adams, a Unitarian theologian that if you don't know, I commend you to find out about him. We'll do a service about him later, and then we're going to have a question and answer period. See if you did any homework. James Luther Adams said that faith is that about which we are willing to risk the meaning of our lives on. James Luther Adams, Unitarian theologian, Harvard professor for countless years, said, faith is that about which we are willing to risk the meaning of our lives on. My mother always says, oh, ye of little faith. I said, whew, not me. My whole life is a testament to faith because I've gone places that no little black boy from Harlem should ever go. Whites only bar in Alabama. I went there with a gun and a switchblade and brass knuckles. I went there looking for a fight. They bought me drinks and said, you're the bravest Negro we've ever met. And I said, bravest or most foolish, my fiance had committed suicide the day before and I wanted to die too. So I thought if I went there, I'd meet my maker. It didn't happen. I made friends with a bunch of yahoos singing Sweet Home Alabama. Faith is a funny thing. It will take you places you can't imagine. Faith is not knowing or believing. It is a trust that meaning is possible and not a certainty. Faith is something that happens between our lives and the world together that makes us richer for having lived through it. Faith is what this congregation has been about. It's what we will be about. I had a right and good time. Maybe I'm going to post this one, Greg. All right. Here we go. Faith. I close it out by this reading of Faith by Georgette Wonders. We all live by faith. The question is, in what? For many people to speak of faith, it is assumed to include a particular kind of belief in God, a God that can be petitioned and pardoned, whether by our intensity or persistence, or the quality of our approach to intervene according to our desires, a God who may test our faith by withholding what we want, and numerous variations on that theme. That's one kind of faith. This faith is a thing you have or you don't have. It's by grace or by choice. It can move mountains. We're told it can cure disease, change faith. The Apostle Paul said in his letter to the Hebrews, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we can do to make it a reality. Make the things you hold dear to your heart a reality by putting your all into it. That application, everything you need to put into it. Those bald tires, we're going to figure out. We're going to do a collection, pass the plate, get some money for new tires for my man. He can't be home, staying home because it snows. We need some tires. We've got to have the faith to get us through whatever we're dealing with, no matter how hard. Amen. Amen. Thank you for being tolerant with me. I'm going to give you that Howard Thurman piece because it deserves our remembering.